First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you, who's the best college athlete you've ever watched live? It's in honor of National Student Athlete Day out there. Hashtag National Student Athlete Day. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The best college athlete you've ever watched live. Love getting the tweets on it, getting a ton of different answers there. Christopher comes in and just with a little gif of Michael Vick reminds us of what he did to everybody. Several votes for Kale Sanderson. Tucker comes in and says Kale Sanderson should top every list for best collegiate athlete. As we take a look at that, Wildcat says Ron Dane single-handedly destroyed the Big Ten. John, best college athlete ever watched live. Herschel Walker, close second. Bo Jackson, Papa Joe, Edgerrin James, best college athlete. Roger, James Worthy. MJ was a freshman and amazing, no doubt, but 52 in Carolina Blue was the man. Love that we're getting so many different answers. DJ says Paul Kariya, best student athlete I've ever seen play live. First freshman to win the Hobey Baker Award. So a little bit of love there for Maine ice hockey. So keep them coming. Love the tweets at Jason Fitz. Plus you can call 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. We'll get to your take in just a second, but First Take today, continued the QB continued conversation. Every day they've taken a different quarterback, taking a look at what that quarterback has to do in their next step. Dan Orlovsky joined Max and Stephen A. to have the quarterback conversation about Baker Mayfield. Specifically, Stephen A. asked if the Browns made a mistake as of right now, taking Baker Mayfield number one.
And that's not to sit up there and act like Baker Mayfield can't play, because I know that he can play. He's not a scrub. But me personally, I thought that Sam Darnold might have been the better fit. He's 2 years younger. He's about 2 to 3 inches taller. He's bigger. That definitely has something to do with it. But more importantly, he doesn't talk nearly as much as Baker Mayfield, inciting dudes to come at him in an even more ferocious fashion just to shut him the hell up. And that's what Baker Mayfield does. It's great for us as media members, who get paid to commentate and pontificate about a lot of different things. But the reality is that if you're Baker Mayfield or you're the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield finds himself as the quarterback, putting them in more bad situations than good. We know that he threw 21 touchdowns last year. We know that he completed less than 60% of his passes. Sam Darnold certainly didn't have that issue. By the way, Sam Darnold was 7-6 in his 13 starts. We know what Baker Mayfield's record was. He won only 6 games last year. He had more commercials with Progressive than he did actual wins. That's an absolute truth. Just check it out. I'm talking about different versions of Progressive commercials. He had more of those than wins on the NFL football field last season. And that's just pathetic. And so I look at it right now and I just say to myself, Baker Mayfield has upside. He can play. He's not a scrub. But when I think about the quarterback position, Dan and Max, what I think about is not just your ability to throw the football, as I've said on repeated occasions. It's your ability to lead and to galvanize folks to follow you. I think when you look at Baker Mayfield as an individual talent, you know he can play. He's not a scrub. And you recognize what he did in college. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, for crying out loud, and walked on and did all of those things. Got a lot of guts, a lot of moxie. But when you talk about leading troops on this level, I just think that he falls flagrantly short at this particular moment in time because of his immaturity to deal with scrutiny that he invites. And all of that comes into consideration when I think about the quarterback position. And I think that when you look at Sam Darnold in the New York market, having conducted himself the way that he has conducted himself, even though he's younger, he has proven that at least thus far, the Cleveland Browns made the wrong selection.
Look, Baker Mayfield, the jury is still out on him in reality. I mean, people have made their decision on Baker based on they went 7-9 and then they got more talent and then they went 6-10. But Stephen A., it wasn't because of all the personalities that you didn't like the Browns. In fact, I recall the reason you didn't like the Browns was a rookie head coach who you felt hadn't earned the position in Freddie Kitchens, even though he'd worked well with Baker Mayfield. Greg Williams was the interim head coach during the time that they actually went on a little run in the second half 2 seasons ago. And you were right. Freddie Kitchens was a disaster. So now let's look at the Browns before and after Baker Mayfield and when Baker Mayfield had a coach other than Freddie Kitchens, who was a disaster, or Hugh Jackson, who was the biggest disaster in the NFL in recent years as a head coach. Okay, they were 0-16 before they got Baker. And they went from that to 7-9. But importantly, the 7-9, the back half of that season when they had Greg Williams, they're 5-3. So think about that for a second. No Baker Mayfield, you lose not virtually every game, every single game. You get Baker and you win just about half your games. And the reason it wasn't actually half your games, or maybe more, is because you had the worst coach in the NFL at the time, at least by his track record over several seasons, until you got a different coach, and then he was over 500. And by the way, at one point, Dan, your memory may be better than mine on this. I think it was he was 17 of 18 on red zone trips to close out that season. Like, Baker was scoring all the time. He was close to top of the league in a lot of statistical categories that season under Greg Williams. And then Freddie Kitchens, and it was a disaster. But even a disaster nowadays with Baker is a six-win season. So I know it looks bad for Baker right now. A lot of the things you said about him seem to be true, Stephen A., and yet you have to ask, can the guy lead a team to wins given the right coach? Yeah, it sure seems so. It sure seems like, in fact, with the right coach, he is a high-impact player at the quarterback position. He's still young, so it's too early to say that that guy is a bust as the number one overall pick.
There's no chance that the Browns regret or made think that they made a mistake taking Baker Mayfield number one. Now, both you guys bring up outstanding points. Stephen A., I would agree with you that even in that time, I had thought Sam Darnold should be the number one pick. That was my thought process on what player I liked better. But, Max, you bring up a ton of good points of what he has accomplished, even the way we look at it in comparison to what the case was beforehand. Now, his rookie year, he literally broke Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson's rookie passing touchdown record. So there's no way that we can sit there and go, wow, that we've had one really good year and one not so good year. Okay, so, and this is in the midst of an organization that has constantly failed their players. I look at the situation on April 6th today, and the best way I could phrase it is hopefully the Browns and Baker Mayfield have stopped chasing the wrong things. Stephen A., you point out the commercials last year with Baker Mayfield. And then during the Super Bowl, he was on ESPN and he had said, listen, I was bad this year. I had put my foot in my mouth way too many times and I have to learn from that. And so for him to come out and say that, we're going to get the greatest off the field version of Baker Mayfield that we've gotten because of his maturity and growth process. So you don't regret taking that at number one. And the second thing is this, they finally, what seems to be a competent general manager and a competent head coach in Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. So I'm looking at this organization going, you're finally putting a player in position to be successful. All their players in positions to be successful. So the Browns, after one really good year and one not so good year, can't sit back and go, man, we regret taking Baker Mayfield. They're hopeful that he grows and develops and matures, and they finally put the people in place and head coach and general manager to make sure that he does that. So I still believe in Baker as their franchise quarterback. Well,
first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and this Baker Mayfield conversation has to sort of a lot for coaching, right? The biggest question mark going into the Browns season last year was what did they have at their head coaching position? Well, we got the answer for that, and it wasn't good. You often hear players talk about how system matters and coaching matters. Well, we've seen Baker Mayfield look good. We've seen Baker Mayfield look bad. So when we take a look at what we expect from Baker Mayfield, don't we have to at least factor that into it? Now, what we like to do every day that we do the QB Continued series is we like to take that series a step further, a little bit deeper by somebody getting with somebody that's right there in the thick of it in the know. And ESPN Browns reporter Jake Trotter joins us now. Jake, hope you're doing well, my friend. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. What's your realistic assessment on where we are 2 years in to Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, Jason, I think we're going into a little bit of a make or break season. Now, if he doesn't play well this season, that doesn't mean his career's over. And if he plays well, it doesn't mean, you know, he's going to make the Hall of Fame. But I think we're about to learn a lot about Baker Mayfield as an NFL quarterback because of the reasons you just laid out. Okay, I can make a lot of excuses for the way Baker played last year, even though he'll be the first to admit he didn't play well himself. But you look at the coaching staff, the offensive tackles, Odell Beckham not practicing. You just go down the list, and that's going to be different this year. They've already, you know, upgraded at offensive tackle, signing Jack Conklin for the right side. You know, I imagine they're going to draft the left tackle in a couple of weeks. They got a new coaching staff and a front office that's all aligned on the same page, which they really haven't had in years. And you look at Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, they should be relatively healthy for the start of the season. So all of that goes back to Baker, and you know, if he's the guy, you know, he's going to play well, and they'll be a playoff contender. But if he doesn't play well, it's going to be hard to make similar excuses for him this time next year.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio. We're talking to ESPN Browns reporter Jake Trotter. I'm Jason Fitz. So when you look at the Browns as a whole, and as I said earlier, you look at the head coach got so much of the doubt on it. Now we have a new head coach, a new system supposed to be better. But as we've been talking about this series, we also have a coronavirus pandemic that's preventing players and coaches from getting together and working through these kinks. So what effect does that have on Baker?
Yeah, it's not ideal. You know, I've talked to some coaches, not only at the NFL level, but the college level as well. And you've seen the Zoom meetings, you've seen, you know, people tweet out photos of how they're conducting business. And, you know, you got 20 people in a staff meeting online remotely, which is not ideal. And I think that the organizations, the franchises, programs that have continuity in their coaching staff, maybe in addition to their players, have a big advantage because, like you said, Baker is going to have to learn another system. This is his fourth head coach since he's been in the NFL, his third offensive system or offensive coordinator since he's been in the NFL. And, you know, it would be, I think, ideal for the Browns if they could start working on some of that stuff. Now they can't, they're not going to be able to, and who knows what the world is going to look like three months from now. But I think that it's not an advantage for the teams that are new. And the Browns, you know, not only the front office, the coaching staff, but even some of the players they're bringing in are new as well. And they're going to have to learn on the fly whenever the season begins.
We're talking to ESPN Browns reporter Jake Trotter. Jake, there was a lot of conversation about Odell Beckham Jr. and whether or not he was happy and what it looked like. What's your latest assessment on where he is?
Well, you know, he had the surgery, you know, to correct the sports hernia that he played through throughout the season and injured the second week of training camp. You know, it was a frustrating season for him. They didn't win. You know, he didn't have the kind of numbers that he's accustomed to having, and he was hurt all year. So, you know, you could tell that he was frustrated by the way things went, and you know, some potentially of his own doing. You know, he's caused a lot of distractions for the Browns himself. But you know, he's got you know, he has a little bit of a clean slate in Cleveland because everybody above him is new. You know, new coaching staff again, new front office, and you know, I've been told by you know multiple people in the building that they're going to try to make this work with Odell. You know, Jarvis Landry, Odell, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, and then Baker. And oh, by the way, you had Austin Hooper. I mean, that on paper looks like it has a chance to be a top 10 offense. And they want to see what it looks like with Odell, you know, in this offense, despite what happened last week.
We're talking to ESPN Browns reporter Jake Trotter on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Browns fans sort of, they came at me last year, Jake. I'm not gonna mince words on that. They came at me because I didn't buy into the hype train and I felt like everybody was sort of oversold on the Browns. I feel like it's almost been a whiplash thing this year though. I feel like now we're all undersold on the Browns. So give me your realistic expectation for Cleveland coming into this season. Where should this team be?
I agree with you. I mean, and you could feel the pressure, you know, in training camp for a franchise that hadn't done anything in a long time. You could feel the hype in just the eyeballs and the attention that were going to be in the Browns going into the season, and obviously they didn't handle it very well. I think they're going to be off the radar going into the season, and I don't think that's a bad thing for this team. And again, like, you know, they've got some holes still to fill, left tackle chief among them, but you look at their talent, and, you know, if you believe in what you saw out of Stefanski as the offensive coordinator last year, you look at this team and it should be at least a playoff contender, like a 9-7 team at worst. But again, you know, I would have said the same thing last year and would have been way off. You know, I think it's going to come down to leadership in the locker room, that they can eliminate all these crazy incidents that plagued this team last year. I mean, throughout the season, at the end of the year, it was like almost like waiting for what was going to happen next. If they can, you know, I think get a better stability for Baker offensively, then there's no reason this team can't be in the playoff conversation, you know, toward the end of the year.
Follow him on Twitter at Jake_Trotter. Jake, as always, man, I appreciate your expertise. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Stay safe, my friend.
Okay, you too, Jason. Take care.
Jake doing great workout covering the Browns. And look, I said it. Last year, Browns fans just killed me because I wasn't buying in. This year, I think we're really underhyping the Browns. They have great weapons, and I still think Baker Mayfield can play. So let's find out where they are this year. I look at them as I feel like we're suddenly looking at them like they're not a relevant team when I think they're still going to be in the playoff conversation coming into this year. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. We've been asking you the best college athlete you've ever watched live. It's National Student Athlete Day, so we've been asking you to get in your take on the best college athlete you've ever watched live. Sean in Arizona. Sean, what's your take on the best college athlete you've watched live?
Mine would be Brian Urlacher.
No, that's good.
And the guy did everything at New Mexico. He ran back punts, played some tight end, played safety and linebacker. You guys never got to see him because he played at New Mexico, but I watched him single-handedly destroy San Diego State in 1999, and it was just amazing.
You make a great point there. And again, so much of these great college athletes, thanks for your take on it, so much of these great college athlete conversations are sort of skewed by what we saw them do as professionals. Brian Urlacher in college was capable of doing absolutely everything. Tristan in Pittsburgh. Tristan, what's your take? The best college athlete you've watched live?
The best college athlete I've ever watched live was James Conner over at Pitt. And there's one particular game that comes to mind for me, and it was actually the highest scoring game in FBS history. It was Pitt versus Syracuse over at Heinz Field, a brisk Heinz Field day. Well, on that day, James Conner ran for 115 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nathan Peterman threw for 4 touchdowns and ran for 1. And in case you were wondering, because I know you were, yes, he did throw an interception. And Zach Bahoney threw for 440 yards on.
Oh, we lost the line there. The line was terrible, but great story on that. James Conner, also one of the easy ones to root for in general as you look at guys that have now he's continued to do it. Tristan, thanks for your take on it. Let's go to Derek in North Carolina. Derek, what's your take? Best college athlete you've ever watched live?
Oh, without a doubt, it's got to be Calvin Johnson from Georgia Tech. Yeah, my mom worked at Georgia Tech Athletics. We went to so many games and just watching him dominate weekend after weekend. From the time he stepped on the field as a freshman, he had that crazy catch behind himself at NC State. And then somebody earlier called in about Pat White in West Virginia. When Georgia Tech and West Virginia played in the Gator Bowl, West Virginia won the game. But Calvin Johnson was just unstoppable. They were triple-teaming him. He was still scoring touchdowns. That's it for me.
You are so right about that. And that catch that you were mentioning, I mean, that just sort of solidified everything we were going to think about Calvin Johnson. And for some reason, I don't think he gets enough hype. I mean, I don't think we even remember him as well as we should at this point for what he accomplished. Kevin in Missouri, who do you have as your best college athlete you've ever watched live?
Well, I got to tell you, I originally told your screener Spencer Tillman from Oklahoma because I'm a 58-year-old man whose heart was ripped out as a Nebraska fan by Spencer Tillman more times than I can count. But I've been sitting here thinking, and I was lucky enough to see Mike Rozier's 2-yard touchdown run where he covered 78 yards.
Oh, that's great.
And Johnny Rogers on the man, woman, and child is that put him in the aisles call by the great Lyle Bremser, the Nebraska broadcaster. I encourage everybody, if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and put in Johnny Rogers, man, woman, and child, single greatest punt return of all time.
Kevin, thanks for the take on that. That is spectacular. And by the way, I can't say enough positive things. We went down to Nebraska for game day this year. Just being around the Nebraska experience, it's different. I mean, the city itself, the way they break it down, it is different there. I want to go to Calvin in San Antonio real quick because I love that this is a different take. Calvin, what do you have as the best college athlete you've ever watched live?
Lynn Bynum. I think.
Tell me about it.
He had the most hype, and I think he was a legend prior to getting drafted by the Celtics, even before Mark Thornton had his
Oh, we're losing Calvin, and I'll tell you, Len Bias being his vote. Now, I'll be honest. I spent some time in high school around Maryland, so obviously Len Bias is somebody that I think about often in that sense. But when I was hosting a college basketball bracketology show with Joe Lenardi over the last few months, it's crazy to think that was this year. We were trying to put together the best ACC team of all time, and just hearing college basketball guys talk about Len Bias as a reminder of the greatness there, and one of the great losses for basketball that we never got to see him play at the next level. Keep them coming. The best college athlete you've ever watched live. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me. We'll take some more of your take, coming up. We will continue to do that, but, and, well, we'll do something else too if I can get my computer screen. Ah! When will sports be back? How concerned should we be about their eventual return? First Take discussed it. You'll hear that next. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Need to get you some headlines out there that you need to know. The Open Championship has been canceled due to coronavirus. So the 149th Open Championship had been scheduled for July 16th through 19th. It was canceled today because of the coronavirus pandemic. So at this point, we will now move forward. We do know, in some positive news, that the PGA Championship has been postponed. They have a date now for it, August 6th through 9th. The U.S. Open has been postponed. They have a date for it, September 17th through 20th. That's 1 week prior to the Ryder Cup. And the Masters, which was supposed to be taking place right now at Augusta, is moving to November 12th through 15th. So we're at least getting some dates moving forward, and that's a little bit of positivity as everybody tries to have something they can earmark on the calendar to figure out what's coming next. Also, Chicago teams are still coordinating a stay-at-home message at this point. So they're coming in, and all of the athletes are coming together. All of the teams are coming together to give a message to the city of Chicago. Stay at home. More of an example of sports and athletes trying to align everybody together in hopes of getting everybody together for one common goal. Also, Antonio Brown has an agent. Remember, his agent prior had fired him. Well, he's hired a veteran agent, Ed Wasliewski of EMG Sports, to represent him in his pursuit to return to the NFL this season. Wasliewski told ESPN Adam Schefter on Monday that he's now been hired as his agent. So AB continues his path to what he hopes will be a return to the NFL. Those are your headlines. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you, in honor of National Student Athlete Day, who's the best college athlete you've ever watched live? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me. Tell me the best college athlete you've watched live. We're going to take some of your take in just a second, but we'll start with some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it has to do with some of the headlines we just read. Marcus Spears joined Max and Stephen A. as they were talking about the many factors that sports deal with when it comes to making possible return dates.
There is reason for concern, and I certainly won't sit here and deny that. But I'm just refusing to take the pessimistic view that so many other people are inclined to take. Although there are valid reasons to feel that way, I get it. But sports, the level of optimism that it can bring, that it can generate from a societal perspective, I think is something that can't be ignored. And I think its importance can't be minimized or dissipated in any way. And that's where I'm coming from with this. Clearly, we're living in different times. Clearly, this is one of those situations where you can't just go out there and play and assume that things shall return to normal. You know, you hear so many people spewing the rhetoric from FDR's presidential inauguration when he talked, the only thing to fear is fear itself. No, it's significantly more complicated than that. We get that. But I understand the spirit in which people are coming from when they say such things. We have dealt with things in the past, challenges that we've had to overcome as a nation. This is the latest one. It's big time. No question about it. But we still have to understand that although things cannot be ideal, it doesn't mean that things can't be done. For example, we're talking about you brought up Max boxing. You brought up the UFC. I brought up tennis and golf. Obviously, I brought up baseball as well. Now, it is a challenge, as Golic and Wingo discussed with me earlier this morning on their radio show, when you talk about getting the actual participants to specific locales, particularly on an international level, to compete in competition, because you got to travel and Lord knows what challenges, particularly with different nations that may take up. But in the end, if you have to compete, and for example, it's not going to be in front of an audience, so what? Right now, considering the times that we're living in, desperate times call for desperate measures. Just weeks ago, We sat up here and all of us said, no way in hell we're interested in watching basketball or any sport being played with no fans in attendance. The absence of that roar, the crowd and everything else. We said that weeks ago. How many people would take that now? We'd all take it now. So we need to take that into consideration. The actual participants need to take that into consideration themselves and understand what it would do for us as a nation. If you're able to be safe, if testing is able to take place and the actual participants can compete without worry and we just need to keep the fans at bay, so be it. Because 80,000 people in attendance is less than 80 million watching on television. We need to remember that.
And to that point, Stephen A., I choose optimism as well. The underlying thing, though, and I think to Max's point, some of it, and Max, correct me if I'm wrong, the optimism that we've, especially in our business and being a former athlete myself, is that the sport has always been one of those things to provide the optimism about things that were happening in the country. Sports has actually been that catalyst to bring us out of a lot of things that we've had transpire in our lifetime. And when that is threatened because of sports actually happening, people are looking for different ways to create the narrative for sports to become that once again. And that's what's so different about what we're dealing with in the country. So am I worried? No. My grandmother used to tell me all the time, God rest her soul, if you pray, don't worry. And my family, and I'm sure a lot of people in this country, have been in deep-seated prayer to figure out a way in, and for God to move and create some freedom from what we are experiencing. With that being said, dealing with what we've been dealing with, I think everybody has a different approach to this. Everybody has a different feeling. Do we want these timelines to be met? It's a moving target. I think the most frustrating thing about what's transpiring with this pandemic is that timelines continue to move, and nobody's in control of that. Yeah. The only thing in control of that is what the numbers say. When will we see these things start to either decline, or to your point, vaccine is out there for us to kind of rely on? So it's a lot of factors that are happening. I think the number one thing, Max, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and get to you. The sport is that sports in this regard may not be able to provide a level of optimism about where we are in the country at this point that it has been for so long.
That's some straight talk. Straight talk wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. The real straight talk on this is, guys, we don't know. I will keep saying this over and over and over again. If I was sitting on this microphone a month ago and saying to you, hey, there will be no live sports to talk about 1 month from today, you would have destroyed me. All right. You would have said it was being sensational. It's all a reminder that we have no idea in the current cycle what it's going to look like in a week, what it's going to look like in a month. And that's why I think what we're seeing right now are postponements where they're casually trying to wait and put a date on it. Because realistically, anybody that tells you they know what the world's going to look like in July or September is just giving you their best educated guess. And that's not enough for people to bank business on. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I want your take, the best college athlete you've ever seen live. Carnell from Virginia, I love this one. What do you got as your best college athlete you've ever seen live?
The late, great Steve Airtu McNair, Alcorn State University. I was there when we came back down 24-3 to Grambling State in the fourth quarter. I was able to see the reason why he was picked number 3 overall in the 1995 NFL draft.
Oh, I love that take. And look, anybody that doesn't know, I lived in Nashville for over 20 years. I went to a bunch of those games with McNair and those Titans teams and Eddie George and Frank Wycheck, and just it's a reminder of how incredible it was to watch Steve McNair at his best. I'll take that all day, every day. Love this. Joe in Maui. You know what? If you're going to be quarantined somewhere, let it be in Maui. That's all I'm saying. Joe, give me your take. Best college athlete you've watched live.
Aloha from Maui. Actually, it's Pistol Pete, Bill Walton, and O.J. Simpson. Saw them all live. It was their overall performance in their entire college careers that was great. Single best live view was Carl Lewis in the Olympics. 3 gold medals in one day. He won the 200 the night before. He won the 100, the relay, and the long jump in one day. And that Coliseum in L.A., 100,000 people, was electrified.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Thanks for your take on it. It's one of the best part about this is the college athletes you've watched live gives us great stories. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Charlie in Tennessee, what do you got as the best college athlete you've watched live?
Archie Manning.
Well, Charlie,
yeah,
I'm surprised
Archie
it wasn't
Manning,
Peyton in
wasn't
Tennessee.
In college. It was the summer before he went to Ole Miss. I saw him play in the Mississippi High School All-Star Game.
Oh, that's incredible. That is it. So tell me about it.
Oh, man. You know, I saw him. I just gotten out of the Navy, and I was going to college, and I went, and the game was being played, and I went up the stands, and I watched this little red-headed kid from Drew, Mississippi, tall, skinny, roll out to his right, and that flailing red hair of his, and throw the ball on a rope 20, 30 yards downfield. I've never seen a high school quarterback ever do that.
You know, Charlie, thanks for the take on it. I really thought Charlie from Tennessee, I just figured that, you know, maybe they were tricking us and they were going to give us the other Manning. But no, it's all Archie. I love that one. Let me get this Brian in Pennsylvania. Oh, Brian, what's your best college athlete you've ever watched live?
LeVar Arrington. This guy was a man among boys. I was there when he played against Illinois on the 20-yard line. They were backed up against the wall. LeVar leaps over everybody and dusts the guy in the backfield. It was amazing. He was a freak athlete.
And we forget how great he was in his college career. This is another, and he had a good pro career, but his college career was second to none. I mean, it was just absolute next level explosiveness on it. Keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The best college athlete you've ever watched live. We're doing that in honor of National Student Athlete Day. Speaking of athletes that people have watched live, Jalen Hurts, one of the best of them. The question is, Jalen Hurts to the Cowboys? Lincoln Riley joined First Take. Doesn't think it's that crazy. You'll hear it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the second hour of the show, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. All right. At this point, we're trying to figure out how many bills are going to be in Jalen Hurts' wallet, depending on where he gets drafted. Now, the video that has sort of got the internet clamoring at this point, or the news that has them clamoring, is the fact that there's been a video conference between the Dallas Cowboys and Jalen Hurts. So, would the Cowboys be interested in Hurts? Well, Ohio, good Lord. Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley joined Max and Stephen A. to debate that interest.
Honestly, it's no surprise. I think, you know, Jalen's been able to show people his skill set over a number of years. He's done it with 4 different offensive coordinators, done it at different universities, and had great success at both. Has been a winner and has consistently improved. And so, looking at the Cowboys, you know, what they have right now in Dak, you could see a lot of similarities at the college level, a lot of similarities in their skill sets. So for them to be interested, I think makes a lot of sense.
Coach, thank you for being on the show. Let me ask you this question. There's been a lot of talk. You've seen the Dabo Sweeneys of the world come out and say there will definitively be, he has no doubt there will be a college football season. He's very, very confident about that. You have others like Kirk Herbstreit, our very own Kirk Herbstreit, and others who sincerely doubt that will be the case. Where are you on that in terms of your optimism as to whether or not a season should take place?
I think it's impossible to predict, you know, when we'll have a season, but I am extremely confident that we will have a season at some point. You know, it may look different. The schedule may look different. Fans in the stands may look different. Starting times may be different. We don't know. And we have to be ready to adjust because obviously, you know, football is important. It's important to this country. I think it's important to just the morale of the country overall, but it's obviously not the most important thing. But I do feel like, you know, we live in a great country. I think we'll find a way to band together to beat this. And I do feel like we'll be playing football here at some point, hopefully very shortly.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We've been asking you, who's the best college athlete you've ever watched live? Tony in Texas, what do you got? What's your take on this one?
I think it's obvious. I say it's the two-time All-American, two-time Doak Walker Award winner, Ricky Williams. I mean, and then he won the quarterback award, the Heisman. I call it the quarterback award.
So. Mm-hmm. I like the little sauce you put on the Heisman there. But that's actually a really good call. I mean, Ricky Williams' level of dominance is absolutely incredible. Matt in South Dakota, what do you got? The best college athlete you've ever watched live?
I debated. I watched Reggie Bush and the 04 USC Trojans play at my Washington State Cougars, and then I also was at school at Washington State when Clay Thompson was playing for the Cougs.
Wow, okay. So what's your you go through all of it, what's your call? Okay, he's gone. We lost him. He was there, he's gone. Let's go to Charles in Ohio. Charles, what do you got as your best college athlete you've ever watched?
Back in 95, got to see Eddie George play in his Heisman Trophy year. It was his last home game. And it was pretty sweet because the crowd was chanting, Eddie Heisman, Eddie Heisman. So that just brought me chills. And then I also got to watch Troy Smith play there as well. But the Eddie George one is just amazing. Eddie was the man.
Eddie George has got to be on this list. I appreciate your take on it. And again, I'll go back to my time in Tennessee. It was funny. I went to a Titans Raiders game. Y'all know I lived in Nashville, but I'm a massive Raiders fan. And it was the one where Eddie George just couldn't be stopped. And I was sitting there in the stadium and I felt like every time he carried the ball, he just fell forward for 2 or 3 yards. It didn't feel like that big of a deal. And then I got in the car and heard the final stat line. It still hurts my heart to this day. Alex in Virginia, what do you got as the best college athlete you've ever watched live?
As a former sports writer, I was lucky enough to cover Ralph Sampson in both high school and college. That being said, the greatest I ever saw was David Thompson.
Is there one memory that sticks out?
All you have to do is Google Thompson trips over teammate's shoulder. It's amazing how high he could get.
That's amazing. I literally just wrote David Thompson trips, and it brings the thing. It brings it right up. That is incredible. Thanks for your take on it. And we're doing all of this. Let's do another quick one. Mike in Tennessee, what do you got, real quick?
All right, real quick. Without a doubt, as a Tennessee fan, it killed me. But Herschel Walker, he destroyed the Vols. He blasted Bill Bates and ran over him and left cleat marks all up and down his chest and his back.
Oh, Mike, you're so right. And we've had a ton of tweets for Herschel Walker today. Again, you know, it's hard to remember some of these guys sometimes. They deserve more legacy than they're getting, and that's why we've done it. National Student Athlete Day. You can keep tweeting me at Jason Fitz. Also, go find some of these guys that are out on Twitter. Tweet them your memory. It's a great way to remind them the impact that they had on you. Spread a little love, spread a little joy. This has been First Take Your Take. Thanks for hanging out with me.